Welcome to my human design experiment.
Hello, and welcome back to Embodying Mystical Mac. I'm Mac, and if you are new here, thank you so much for joining. If you are returning, thank you so much for coming back. Today, we have a double feature, because I promised y'all that I was going to be releasing episodes 6 and 7 in the same day. So here we go. Let's get into episode 7 of season 2 of The Wheel of Time. If you haven't been here and caught my other episodes, please go ahead and watch those. I would say they're rather entertaining. I just go through all my notes, which are in chronological order for the episode, and yeah, we've been having some fun discussions there. So if you've been commenting and I haven't replied to you yet, I'm a very mentally fragile person, and I probably read my comments every few months. So thank you for waiting, and I appreciate your engagement, and I will get to your comment. And if I don't, it's probably because I didn't know what to say. It's just probably because I didn't know what to say, but if I don't love it, typically I will like it, or in the very least, I will just, you know, let it stay, and hopefully there can be some fun discussions off of that. So I really appreciate everybody that's been commenting and having fun discussions. For the most part, we get really great commenters, and I've started to see some regulars down there, which is really, really, really fun. So thank you so much for doing that, you guys. I'm committed to being a more consistent content creator, and to, in my mind, treating this like essentially the ultimate job, which is the job that I love to do. But you know, like every job, I have moments, and like I just said, I'm a very mentally fragile person, and until I guess I unlock that code in life that allows me to be financially stable, I go through periods where it's really difficult for me to create content because I feel like I'm just surviving and that's all the energy that I have. And I know that a lot of you can understand that, but I just want to reiterate how grateful I am, and that I really, even if it doesn't seem like it sometimes, I really am putting effort into getting content out for not just you guys, but for me too, because I do want to do this as a full-time job and career, and I want to open all kinds of avenues for myself with this that I never would have been able to open otherwise. And I appreciate the collaboration that we have going on, so thank you. Here, let's get into episode 2. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you for supporting. If you haven't yet checked out my YouTube setup since I put up my fun Wheel of Time paintings permanently, feel free to check that out. I've also got my little friends here, my little BB9, which is my Droid Depot droid that I made in Disneyland, and my little Poke the Porg, who makes fun noises. Yeah, and Groot, because we love Groot. Baby Groot. Anyhow, okay, let's get into it. Notes right off the bat. Season 2, episode 7. I really should have started writing those titles. I'm sorry I didn't. We are going, though. Cool to see the foretold prophecy of the dragon reborn. It was supposed to be Tyrane, which I guess that's fine. I guess it's fine if they did another sister. I appreciated the cold open. My boyfriend wasn't really into it, but I thought it was cool. I appreciated seeing the prophecy. I appreciated even little backstory of like Swan and Moiraine being like in love and trying to, you know, do their duties as sisters and then go off together. And how that essentially just gets slashed to pieces by the fact that they happen to be the two unlucky sisters that are there when this happens. So Lan is finally acting like Lan, which I appreciate. And I love the fact that we just get a glimpse of Lan teaching Rand some forms before he meets the Ammerlin. Like, I just, thank you. Thank you so much, whoever did that. Matt is kidnapped by Lanfear. Okay, cool. Elaine putting Nynaeve in her place, which you definitely know is happening. Definitely know what's happening. Just like a couple episodes ago, I was like, Nynaeve being stubborn because that's what she does. Love that. Elaine putting Nynaeve in her place because Elaine knows better when it comes to these Dies D'Mar, how to blend in, being more diplomatic. And Nynaeve is a little firecracker who cannot control herself. So like, I really appreciated all of that. Very realistic to the characters, and thank you. Lan and Moiraine show down, and she's a bitch. Well, good thing I rambled, because now I only cussed 4.5 minutes in, so you're welcome, YouTube, for my rambling. Regardless, though, honestly, and then Lan is finally Lan, which means he stands his goddamn ground and is like, no, you listen to me. Thank God. Somebody needed to. Moiraine is getting out of hand. Swan having like sea folk jokes is cute. I always appreciate when they bring the characters like backgrounds into their present, which I love. Oh, I didn't appreciate the whole like, would have been better if you were a girl line from Swan. Like, I'm not one to sling the like, I'm not one to use the term woke in any way, shape, or form ever because it's just been so mishandled and so boggled. But this is exactly what the people who do like to use that term mean when they say like, oh my God, why do we gotta be so quote, quote, woke? And it's this, these like useless lines of like, would have been better if you were a girl. It's like, first of all, no, it would not have been better if he was a girl because this is Robert Jordan's tale and Robert Jordan did not want the fucking dragon to be a girl ever. So, like, it's just that this is just stupid writers being like, and it's stupid. I didn't like it. Oh, yeah. The general of the Soldom didn't like that Rena let Egwene keep her name. That was kind of a cool little like side-eye moment. We knew Egwene was gonna kill it. We knew that. I appreciated the visual. The seals of the other Forsaken look pretty cool, especially how they have them displayed. I didn't realize they were all so big, but I think somebody in my comment section literally said like they actually, one of them or two of them were actually rather large. But I swore to God that they were tiny, but that is clearly a me problem. Wheel of Time. Oh, I said Wheel of Time ayahuasca to replace the mirrors in the waste and in Rudian. In the waste in Rudian. Yeah, like they gave Matt like this, right, essentially psychedelic tea in order to like get him to see his past lives, and boy does that backfire. Not even just like on a story level, like on a writing level. It was such a waste of time, but we'll get there. Hand talk, I appreciated the maiden hand talk. It was very natural. Let's see, Avienda Painto, which Painto, but I wish it was explained a little bit better before they just like dove into it, and especially before we see it from like Perrin and Hopper's perspective. Yeah, I don't know, the way they did it, I'm not super mad about it. They did end up explaining it later. I just felt like the scene in and of itself was a little shocking at first, but maybe that's what they were going for. Like, they were going for, hey, the Aiel is this really brutal race of people, you know, and it's not like they're brutal needlessly. Like, they actually, their customs are very, for their culture, their customs are rather reasonable and rather understood, and everybody follows them because it surrounds this system of honor. And that's what Perrin was watching. He just didn't know that that's what he was watching, and they did end up explaining it. So this is more of like a, I would have preferred that we would have had a little bit of an intro to it, more than we already had, because it wasn't much to the extent of what Toh can be, before we just saw Avienda get like her brains beat out by Bane and Chion. But they did explain, so there's that. So then I said, if you're gonna replace the mirrors, can you at least tell Matt's actual story? Okay, I told you we were gonna get to this. This is so stupid. Oh my God. Okay, spoilers for Matt, apparently now. Matt has lived many lives. He's lived many lives. He was an epic general in Manethrin. He was epic generals across time. And the fact that we're using this this Wheel of Time Aya situation to supposedly show that, like, when he first drank the tea, I was so excited. I was like, okay, we're gonna get to see his past lives. It's gonna be interesting. No, instead, all we get is a bunch of like trauma fodder about his fears of being just like his father. And then it ends up being like a gimmick for fucking Ishmael to be able to comfort him. It's all so goddamn stupid. So I wrote, if you're gonna replace the goddamn mirrors, if you're gonna go with this route, if you're going to show us what Matt really is, then can you actually show us what he really is? Because this ain't it, sis. Swan over here making the relationship with Rand in the tower much, much worse. The fact, I honestly thought that she laid her hand out like that about what the tower's plans for the dragon would be because she wasn't gonna do it. And the fact that she actually ends up being the one who wants to do it, fuck you, writers. First of all, fuck you. Swan is not stupid. Swan is like one of the few people, she may have her doubts, and I do believe in the book she does have her doubts about how her and Moiraine are kind of handling Rand and letting him kind of roam loose. However, it is the Red Sisters who officially put him in that box. It is the Red Sisters who do the plan that the tower was intending. And it is Swan and Moiraine that, for the most part, understand that that is not actually going to work. So for the show to actually flip that on its head and make Swan look like an outright idiot by not only, like, laying out her exact plan, but essentially in doing so, making Rand want to run away. Fucking stupid, horrible story decision. And if she did have a moment like this in the books, I must have erased it from my memory, because Robert Jordan must have been seriously on some stuff if he wrote a moment this defaming for Swan. I believe she has her doubts. I believe she has questions about how they're going about it, but she is not the one who puts him in the fucking box. Not even close. Not even the one to give the order. Here I am over here, like, look. Feeling like I'm gonna look it up, but seriously, like, and if they were gonna do it like this, can you at least do it in a way that's strategic? Can you do it in a way that's not stupid, where she's not literally, like, telling him what's about to happen? Okay, so we finally get an explanation for the shielding. I guess I just said thank you because I'm like, thank God, finally, someone actually gives us a distinction. Barthenus is of the dark. We knew that now. We did Wheel of Time Aya, not to deepen Matt, but to get Ishi to play babysitter. That's what I mentioned before. So infuriating. Rand asking Lanfear for help is interesting. Is this Moiraine's plan too? I don't think so. So Moiraine is, all caps, shielded. Fucking knew it! Now ask me, or I'm sorry, now tell me, why do we have to waste all this time? Yeah, I don't know either. Stupid. The girls call her Suldam, and we learn the secret. Yeah, that was bound to happen. I believe that's also kind of how they try to sneak in to get Egwene in the books. Call her Suldam, that they capture. Oh, I just said when a Odamane becomes obedient, they get a proper room with, like, a bed and stuff. They essentially just put a bed and a little bit of furniture in the room that was first empty and just had the pitcher of water and the glass in there. That was just an observation I made. So Egwene braids her hair, which is a sign she's not broken. And Rena hates that she's not broken. Something about Barthain's and going to the dark. Something about his reasons for going to the dark. Oh, I think I said, oh, Barthain's. So you went to the dark, and this was just to, like, rise in the ranks, right? And then, of course, Anvair is a boss because she says, nope, you are my son, but you are still a dark friend, and unfortunately, I don't know who you are anymore, and so bye. Varen for the win! Varen for the win. Freeing Rand. The weaves are gorgeous. They really have upped the VFX for the weaves this season, and I dearly appreciate it. Land coming in with what I already knew. So, why act like she was stilled for so long? Why spend so much time on it? This doesn't even feel like a victory. And now Swan. And what I said, and now Swan, just Swan being an idiot and essentially getting herself put in that situation. And, you know, Moiraine leaves her, and it's supposed to be sad. But I'm honestly not even sad, because Swan wasn't supposed to have made those decisions based on the character that supposedly she is. And Moiraine was shielded the whole time, but we could have solved this like at least half a season ago. And, We just wasted a bunch of fucking time with that stupid subplot line. And yeah, I'm just... No, it just... Yeah, they like gain a couple points for me, and then they lose 5. And then they gain a couple points again. Maybe they gain 3 points because something's really good, and then they lose another 5. Like, it's just, you guys, it... Really pissed off about the whole Matt thing. We could have had an opportunity. We could have had an actual opportunity to see some of Matt's, like, past lives. We could have had an actual opportunity to see, like, you know, Matt like, I understand maybe showing him, you know, unaliving people because it's shocking and things like that, and it might make him question and it might add intrigue, but make it clear that when he remembers that back, he can see that maybe it was, you know, a battle or something like that, because Matt did unalive people in his past lives, but it's because he was the general on often fighting for the light, you know, often fighting for the side that is on the side of justice and what's right. And for them to just do him so fucking dirty and try to be all gimmicky about it too, like, it's not like Ishmael couldn't have played babysitter. It's not like remembering that you were a general for lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, where you had to literally undergo war lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, that is traumatizing. That could have still yielded the response that Matt had, but the fact that we didn't even get that, we just got some bullshit like drama about how he's a drunk like his father, how he's aggressive like his father, all this junk, it was just so stupid. If they didn't have a well of incredible information on Matt to pull from that lives in the books, I would be like, yeah, okay, fine. That was kind of a first ideas concept, but fine, whatever. But no, the fact that they have this entire, like, amazing well of information about Matt Cawthon to pull from, and they insist on going, like, the most surface level, the most stupid, the most just infuriating route with him, and wasting screen time while we're at it, just... really gets my panties in a wad. All right, anyways, yeah, this one was kind of a short one. I know, I honestly was just kind of like, ugh, the whole time, and these are the notes that I managed to get. Next time you are gonna get episode 8, and then probably an elemental review, and then I will come back around and talk about my, like, thoughts of the season as a whole. I also have some, like, reread content that I have been meaning to pick back up and that kind of thing. Rereading the books of Wheel of Time and things like that. So, yeah. We're gonna have some fun stuff coming up. So, if you've made it this far, thank you so much. Make sure you click that subscribe button. Or rather, if you've made it this far, please consider clicking that subscribe button. Please consider clicking the like button. And please consider clicking the bell, because I do post regularly, but I don't post on a schedule. And those are all phenomenal free ways to support my channel and to support the livelihood that I'm creating here on YouTube and through my other social media. Something else that you can do in order to support me, you can check out my affiliates below. You could also send me a little donation on PayPal, and you can book a tarot reading by emailing embodymysticalmac@gmail.com. Just put the tarot, little tarot note in the subject line. And yeah, I also have social media, as I just mentioned, so you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at embodymysticalmac, and you can find my music account at macandthemusic. Trying to think of something fun to do for the end of the videos. There's a creator that I follow that she always says to leave, like, a fun emoji at the end, and so I guess for this one, like, leave the mermaid emoji if you made it all the way here in the comment section. And thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you, and I'm excited to talk about season 2, episode 8 when we get to it, and our whole season recap. And I'm just excited to finally move along on some content now that we are getting through the Wheel of Time and through the last couple of Disney Pixar reviews that I had to do. So if you haven't checked out my other Wheel of Time videos, feel free to check those out. I've also done a Little Mermaid review recently if you want to check that out, something a little bit of a different speed than this. And thank you so much. I appreciate you. Stay mystical, stay grounded, and may you always find water and shade. Mwah. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Mystical Mac. Please be sure to subscribe for future episodes and leave me a review while you're there. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok by finding me at Mac Guerrera. Also, check out mysticalmac.com for information on my daily blog, my YouTube channel, and more. Lastly, I'd like to give a big shout out to James Thursday for doing the production of this podcast from here on out, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.